Tiger tailgating here on WWL, AMFMN.com. Herb Tyler taking the Saturday off. He's up there visiting his daughter in Atlanta, Georgia. So it's me for the next 2 hours, 2.5 hours leading up to LSU and Arkansas, the official pregame show of the LSU Sports Radio Network, coming up at 4:30 with Chris Blair and the voice of the Tigers. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. By the way, before we get rolling, happy birthday, Marines. 1775, November 10th, is when the Marine Corps was born. So happy birthday to the Marines. Also, early shout-out, happy Veterans Day tomorrow to all you veterans. You guys are certainly my heroes and our heroes at WWL. So make sure tomorrow or today you see a veteran, show them some love. Make sure you thank them for Veterans Day and for serving our country. 21 years ago today, actually, is when I shipped to Parris Island on the birthday to go into the Marines. My journey began. LSU in Arkansas tonight at 6:30 right here on WWL. Larry Holder covers LSU and the Saints for The Athletic. Larry, how are you, man?
Good, Christian. How are you, bud?
Good. Well, let's start with this one. It's all going to be about the rebound, right, Larry? I mean, can they come off a loss to Alabama? And under Coach O, they've never lost a game after losing a game.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the backdrop here. Look, LSU, lots of expectation on their part, thinking that they were going to be able to go in the Tiger Stadium, possibly upend Alabama. And, of course, that couldn't have been further from what had happened. They were certainly dominated up front, both sides of the ball. But you go into this matchup, and at least the backdrop, if you're looking silver lining for sure for LSU, Ed Orgeron has always gotten his team over a little bit of a disappointment, and they've been able to go win games. And I feel like let's just look at this year, not even after a loss, we've seen him be able to do that after big wins. So I think that's, when they rebounded after beating Georgia, they were able to get the job done against Mississippi State. So I think that's kind of a kudos to Ed Orgeron and his staff as well. But, yeah, you go up to Arkansas, everybody in that practice facility this week understands that they're a better football team, understands that everyone expects them to win and win significantly even after what happened against Alabama. So I'm curious to see, though, we're talking 18 to 22, 23-year-old players here. So you never know kind of what just happens. And, of course, it's not like they're going to go play in a sauna. It's going to be brisk in Fayetteville. So I'm curious to see how they handle all this.
It's brisk down here in South Louisiana, that's for sure. So you know it's going to be a lot cooler up there in Fayetteville. And, Larry, at number 7, after the loss to Alabama, they slipped to number 7. If they went out and win 10 games, could you see the selection committee, if some things happen in Notre Dame and some things happen in front of them, could you see the committee with this resume putting them in the college football playoffs with just 2 losses?
I feel like several things need to happen, but we've seen LSU be fortunate in the past in the BCS system where things happen and they're able to slip in there. But, I mean, it's going to take Michigan losing – going to take Notre Dame certainly losing, and it's the 2 losses. We've seen that happen. Sure. I mean, look, LSU won a national championship with 2 losses. I mean, it's happened before, not even just in a Final Four, but in a Final Two scenario. So I think it just goes to show you how much the committee values Alabama. The fact that LSU only dropped from 3 to 7, and they're above plenty of 1-loss teams. And, you know, it's something that you have to, at least if you're an LSU fan, recognize. If you're disappointed, oh, my gosh, well, they lost Alabama again, they have 2 losses. You got to recognize that LSU's played a great resume. They've beaten plenty of teams. Heck, they beat Georgia, and now they're above them.
They spanked Georgia. Rankings. They didn't just beat them. They spanked them, Larry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely beat them up badly in Tiger Stadium. And so it's I think that's kind of one feather in their cap if they get there. But I just feel like, say, if there's still a 1-loss team lurking, say like West Virginia is still a 1-loss team, I think they're going to jump LSU. You know, maybe like a Washington State, if they make that run, I still think, and if they win their conference and all this, I think in the end they're going to get jumped. So you're going to need lots of help for LSU. But that being said, they can certainly go to a major bowl game. I mean, the Sugar Bowl is not out of the realm of possibility. The Fiesta Bowl is not out of the realm of possibility. And I think if you're an LSU fan and you look at yourself realistically in the mirror, you got to say this is a very, very, very good season that we didn't see coming. If they can get to one, a bowl like that, or even just a new, just, you know, a New Year's Six bowl, I think it would be a very good season.
Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Which win are you more confident in, LSU over Arkansas or Saints over the Bengals? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Larry Holder of The Athletic covers the Saints and the LSU Tigers for The Athletic, at Larry Holder on Twitter. And Larry, are you up there in Cincinnati right now?
I am here, yes. I am in Cincinnati. So, yeah, it's a little chilly up here, too.
I would imagine so.
I'll just do my on-air vote on the poll, and I'll say I'm thinking LSU-Arkansas is an easier win than Saints-Bengals, even though I feel like both teams are going to win. But if you want to go on the on y'all's website and do a little click and, like, make a little Larry Holder and just make a click, that's my vote.
All right, I'll do that. I'm doing that right now. A little click for Larry. A little click.
From JoJo the Monkey Boy, your boy, your alias.
We want to tell that story, huh? Yeah, so, all right, I'll do it. So when Larry was working for his previous employer, he
– You can't mention a name. You can mention a name. Give me a
play. NOLA.com. NOLA.com.
Lame. Right. You can do it.
Anyway, so when Larry was working at NOLA.com covering the Saints, we'd all be in the Saints media room, and that's when the chats were so popular, and it was all digital. It wasn't the video chats that we do now. That is the wave of the media now. So I used to get in there and hijack.
This was so 2012. So 2012.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think this was like 10 and 11. I don't know. Anyway, so I used to get in there.
Whatever.
This is when Brian Alley Walsh was with you. And I used to pose questions that were just off the wall questions from an alias called JoJo the Monkey Boy, and I have no idea why I chose that handle, but I just did. It was fun. It was always entertaining. You learned to kind of just dismiss it pretty quickly, but Brian Alley Walsh sometimes would entertain it and be like, "Gosh, this JoJo the Monkey guy is really getting on my nerves." He would say it right there in the media room. It was funny.
Oh, well, that's like other people, like our good buddy who used to work at WWL-TV, Bradley Handwerger, would go in and start dropping algebraic equations in the chat stream. And I'm like, I'm not having any of this. I ditched algebra in high school. I'm out of this. But Christian, you and me can go off a tangent, can't we?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we can. Let's get back on track here. LSU and Arkansas, we talked about the rebound. Could they end up pulling up in the, going to the college football playoffs with two losses? If they win out, though, Larry, that would be three straight wins, three consecutive wins in a row, 10 for the season, far exceeding everybody's expectations surrounding this team. And I think you could make the argument that Coach O would be the college football coach of the year.
It depends on who else kind of sneaks in there. Let's say Brian Kelly and Jim Harbaugh get their teams up there. I think Brian Kelly would be a candidate. I don't know. But look, I certainly think
the point being is that he's overachieving the expectations for his team. Clearly, he was projected to win seven games this year.
Right, exactly. And I think it's one of the reasons why I really liked Joe Burrow. He said on Monday that, you know, they could go 10-2. And he just looked at everyone in the room and said, no one in this room would have expected us to go 10-2. And he's absolutely right. I mean, no chance anyone would have thought that. And beating teams like at Auburn, Miami, beating up Georgia, you know, it's no way anyone would have thought that. So, look, you got to give Ogeron credit, and yet he's still got to get better. I mean, the program's got to get better. You know, the expectation isn't – even 10-2 is great, but LSU has built an expectation, thanks to Nick Saban, to win national championships. And so now that's who they're competing with. And so they know that they've got to get better. And I still think it's pretty telling, and you can kind of see it from two angles. When after the game last week, and it kind of opened my eyes quickly as soon as he said how he – he called out the offensive line and defensive line, said they got to get better recruits. So that's a double-edged sword. One, we all know it's true and it's honesty, but two, you kind of throwing players under the bus, and what do recruits think? Oh, am I going to get thrown under the bus? So it's a dicey sword there, but I do think that if they go 10-2, if anyone has any problem with Ed Ogeron, they gotta think a little deeper because they're fooling themselves, because that would be a really good season.
It's Tiger tailgating here on LSU Saturday. Tigers taking on Arkansas in Fayetteville. Larry Holder's our guest, at Larry Holder on Twitter, covering the LSU Tigers and the New Orleans Saints for The Athletic. We'll continue here on WWLAMFM.com. Larry, how you like that? We're beaming back, man. We're like Star Trek, you know? Larry Holder on The Athletic.
Star Trek. I'm more of a Star Wars type of guy, not a
Star
Trek.
That's why I like you. Yeah, that's why I like you. I'm a Star Wars guy myself. Larry Holder of The Athletic covers LSU and the Saints. And shifting gears quickly, Larry, Dez Bryant tears his Achilles heel, or Achilles tendon, I should say. He's on injured reserve. A quick 24-hour stint, pretty much, with the Saints.
I'm wondering, and I think this will be, we'll have to see this as history moves on, which fans have a Dez Bryant jersey. It will be one of the most obscure jerseys in the history of the Saints, and someone admitted it on Twitter that he had one, and I said wear it till it shreds, because I'd be proud of it just to have it. But no, it's but in all seriousness, it's unbelievable that this were to happen. Second day of practice, like some expectations were there with him, but still the element of unknown, how is he going to fit in? So hey, it's almost like you could be bummed, and yet, oh, by the way, the Saints are back at square one. They've won 7 in a row and have one of the best offenses in the NFL. It never had to happen with Dez Bryant. So do I think that they go out and address wide receiver again? I think they should. I think they will. To me, and look, this is just me talking, I think Brandon Marshall makes a lot of sense. They worked him out as part of that group. Same sort of veteran and same sort of kind of build maybe as a Dez Bryant. So, but I'm curious to see where they go from there if they don't go in that direction. But it, just a weird, wacky week. And Christian, you probably agree. I thought this week would be, in our eyes, media business working-wise, this would have been a pretty hum-ho week, you know, nothing too crazy. And then this has just been like a wild, crazy week that I came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider coming off of what we were talking about last week, leading up to LSU, Alabama, Saints and Rams, and then, you know, we saw the results. And then, you know, you're playing the Bengals for the Saints. That isn't a, you know, you play them every 4 years, so it's not a huge rivalry at all for the Saints. And, yeah, and what figured to be a bit of a, kind of week turned into, holy cow, look at the news that's coming out. Dez Bryant signs the next day. He tears his Achilles, so it was certainly a wild week. And what do you think of typical Sean Payton on Friday at his press conference? I don't think he mentioned one iota of a word about Dez Bryant, and then all of a sudden starts breaking about 4:35 o'clock yesterday that he did indeed tear his Achilles tendon. Shifting gears back to the LSU Tigers, you mentioned Joe Burrow, and in particular the defensive lines and offensive lines for LSU. And against Arkansas, this is a team that, yeah, they hung 30 points on Alabama, but this is a team that is still trying to find their way. There's no reason why LSU should struggle against this team.
There's no reason why, and yet, look, like I said in our previous segment, this is a different team. You know, we could talk about how Ed Ogeron rallies the team after a loss, and he's undefeated as an LSU coach after a loss, but this is a different team. And, you know, you mentioned Joe Burrow, and again, I appreciate his honesty. He said, look, last week in the fourth quarter, they were down because they knew basically it was over. Now, can they overcome that? I think that they understand, even Rashard Lawrence was saying this after the game too, they understand that they can go to a big-time bowl game. And honestly, if they win out, they can go, say, play a Rashard Lawrence, who this could, if he goes in the NFL draft, this could be the best bowl game he plays in. So I think there's a lot of kids on that team who understand that. And not everyone wins a national championship. I mean, that's just the nature of college football. So you get to the biggest, best place you can, and I think that they're striving to do that. So, like, but you know, it's going to be cold in Fayetteville. It's cold, and so how can they respond to that? And yet, you and me can look at it without any kind of bias, which we wouldn't even have anyway. But LSU's better than Arkansas basically everywhere. So it would be a big upset, even though it's at Fayetteville. If LSU were to fall, I think then you're going to be starting, oh, all right, maybe we have a little, some questions. So even though you feel like LSU's a big favorite, it's still something to watch to see, all right, how does this team handle itself? And because a lot of these players that are on LSU's team right now, they're certainly going to be back next year.
Larry, in about 60 seconds, shifting gears back to the Saints, do you feel like this game is the proverbial trap game, or you think that this team is different because of how hyper-focused they've been and how they've been able to manage things and also the leadership?
I'd call it a trap game if the Bengals were 0-8, but they're 5-3. And even though Carolina lost, they know they've got – they're not just looking at Carolina. They're looking at the Rams now. They've got to keep tabs with them and stay above them if they want home field. So I don't think this is a trap game at all. I don't think any game this year the rest of the way, even with Tampa, since they lost to them, their schedule – they've got some tough tests, and so I don't think there's any such thing as a trap game. And, oh, by the way, last year we saw plenty of potential trap games. Didn't happen. This team is even more prepared for that this year.
Larry Holder covers the Saints and LSU Tigers for The Athletic, at Larry Holder on Twitter. Larry, go get yourself some chili up there in Cincinnati, man, and go enjoy the game tomorrow. We're coming back for
– JoJo the Monkey Boy.
All right, coming back for Jerry next here on WWL Tiger Tailgating. Welcome back, Tiger Tailgating. LSU and the Hogs getting going in Fayetteville at 6:30 tonight, right here on WWL. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. That's where we find Jerry in LaPlace. What's going on, Jerry? You're on WWL.
Hey, Chris, John.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, you know what, brother? Look, I just wanted to sound off with Dez and the injury. I mean, I hate it happened to him, especially, you know, because he's on our team now. But I would like to say I didn't like the moves for various reasons. I know Coach Payton and the experts, they know what they're doing most of the time, or I'd say about 90% of the time. But I didn't like the move, and I just think that this might be an omen that's going to be in our favor on this one. I just think that we got the personnel to beat Cincinnati and also to go the rest of the year. I just think that we got a few receivers we need to relook at and a few schemes that I'm sure they will. I think we got the personnel to get the job done.
Well, Jerry, I'll tell you this. There's a reason they went out there and they felt like they needed to upgrade the wide receiver core because
you
lost. Now, this is the fifth wide receiver the Saints have put on injured reserve this year. But you lost Ted Ginn Jr., and you lost Tommy Lee Lewis, and you also, now Dez is on injured reserve. So, and Cam Meredith is also on injured reserve.
Right.
So they're going to have to go out there, Jerry, and add another veteran player because the numbers tell you to. Hold on one second, Jerry. Hold on.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be surprised at all if they go out there again and try to sign another veteran next week. But
this came down to the fact that
teams were starting to double Alvin Kamara and Mike Thomas at the same time, and they weren't getting enough production from a guy like Tre'Quan Smith or others. So they felt like down the road in the playoffs, they didn't want to have that opportunity for an opponent to take away both of those players and have no answer for them.
Right. I agree with that, Christian. And look, I'm sure they will. But one thing about Tre'Quan Smith, I see him progressing and coming on. The only thing that I look at him, and you could tell me if you agree, he's young, of course, and he's made some good key plays that helped us in the last two games. But I think one of the things where experience will check in with him is looking back to see what coverage is on Drew and what his blocks are to see if he might need to break his route to get more open for Drew and he's got to be faster. That's why I think, you know, Michael Thomas has such great success because of his experience. He's able to break out, get out there, and he kind of looks back to see what the coverage is on Drew. And also he knows how to break that route to get an open lane for Drew to throw. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that certainly Tre'Quan Smith, Jerry, thanks for the phone call, is a maturing player and a player that's growing and starting to contribute, but it's a rookie. And the Saints are not going to rely on a rookie to be the answer to opposite of Michael Thomas or the another weapon opposite of Alvin Kamara. It's kind of like a luxury. Hey, we're going to bring him along, but he's not going to be the guy they don't think in his rookie year that they're going to depend on. And I think it's smart to not depend on a rookie. Nothing against Tre'Quan Smith, but they want somebody that's battle-tested, that's been through certain coverage, that's seen some things in the NFL, played significant snaps in significant games in the NFL. They don't want to leave that to chance. Jerry, thanks for the phone call. We're going to step away. We're going to break a little early. We'll come back with the voice of the Hogs momentarily. Chuck Barrett, we'll have him next. We sat down with him, me, Bobby, and Deuce back on Wednesday. This is Tiger Tailgating here on WWL. Previewing LSU and Arkansas tonight at 6:30 right here on WWL. Welcome back to Tiger Tailgating. I'm Christian Garrick. Earlier in the week, me, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Deuce McAllister had a chance to sit down with Chuck Barrett, the voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks football team. Here it is. Take a listen. Behind enemy lines now brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Houdat Nation. Chuck Barrett, the voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks football team. Chuck, how are you? Thanks for the time and the insight.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you guys. I'm a big fan, so it's a thrill for me.
Nice. Chuck, this is LSU taking on Arkansas. The Tigers are coming off a devastating loss, or a heartbreaking loss to Alabama, in which they didn't score a single point. It hasn't necessarily gone the way of Arkansas this year. That program's still trying to find themselves a little bit, but does this have a makings, you think, of a bit of a letdown game for LSU because of the way everything, you know, kind of unfolded against Alabama?
You know, it's always been an interesting matchup. There have been years when LSU was decidedly better in terms of personnel, and this may be one of those years when, you know, Arkansas has given LSU good ball games in years when they probably shouldn't have, and I think the hope from an Arkansas perspective is that, you know, number one, you're healed up to a great extent after the open date. And, you know, Arkansas fans love playing LSU the Friday after Thanksgiving. They miss having that ball game. But the trade-off is you get LSU after Alabama, and you generally, or at least this year, have an open week prior to that if you're Arkansas. So if Arkansas is going to have a last stand, I think this is going to be it. It's the last home game. So if they've got that in them, I think we'll see it Saturday night.
Now, Chuck, when you look at coaching decisions and obviously you look at both sides of the ball, Chad Morris going with former LSU defensive coordinator, Coach Chavis, chief. I don't know. How can he keep his job when you look how their defense has struggled? What the Hogs have allowed 34 points in 6 of the 7 losses, giving up 34 points a game. You look at total defense, 413 yards, on and on. But so what is your take on Coach Chavis? You know, hot seat. I guess could you put a coordinator on a hot seat or what?
I don't think he's on the hot seat. You know, the numbers that you just read out about Arkansas's defense, I think if you go through the last 5-6 years, you'd find similar numbers. And I think at some point there's got to be the realization that may not be the coordinator, particularly a guy who's in there in his first year. I think Chief inherited a bare cupboard, and I don't know how else to put it. And I think that, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, after they've recruited their players, 2 or 3 years from now, they're giving up 34 points a ball game. Yeah, he's on the hot seat, no doubt about it. But right now they're playing the hand they've been dealt. And, you know, this was a team that was 1-7 in conference play a year ago, and that's why the coach got fired. If you were good defensively, the coach wouldn't have gotten fired. So I don't think you can lay this at the feet of Chief. Again, I think he's playing the hand that he's been dealt.
When you look at it, I think Chad has recruited really well up to this point, and I think that's going to pay off. He's going to get the right players in to be able to run his offense. But, you know, for a stretch there, particularly against Alabama, they were putting up points, you know, against everybody for a stretch there. It looked like they were really picking up Chad's offense. Do you feel like that is the case? I know their quarterbacks have been kind of banged up, and has this bye week come at a good time for them to try to get some of those injured guys back?
You know, they got better offensively, have gotten better offensively as the year's gone along. They've not always been real consistent, even as they've gotten better. They've had games like they did against Alabama where they put some points on the board. And then they've had other ball games where they've struggled to score. The thing this team can't do, because they don't have the ability to cover it up, is turn the ball over. They can't survive that. And I think if you look at the ball games where they've struggled to put points on the board, that's the common denominator. But, you know, I think that in many respects, the offense kind of embodies the entire team. They weren't very good at the beginning of the year. And they've hung in there, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're world beaters now. But when they are good, they can put points on the board. The issue has been consistency. And the issue has been hanging on to the football.
How fired up do you think that crowd is going to be? It looks like it's going to be right around 30-ish, low 30s as far as degrees. And then we know it's senior night. And how fired up do you think that crowd is going to be?
Well, if the team's playing well, they'll be fired up. It can be 30 degrees, and you don't feel a thing when your team's playing well. If your team's not playing well, it can feel like it's 10 below. And I've seen it go both ways. I remember a cold night when Arkansas played really, really well against LSU. But there have been some cold nights where they've not played as well. I know LSU's really good this year, and Arkansas is going to have to put out its best effort of the year to have a chance to win.
Chuck Barrett, voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks football team, LSU and Arkansas this Saturday in Fayetteville at 6:30. Bobby's got another one for you, Chuck.
Now, Chuck, you know, rivalries and all that, you look like – LSU and the SEC East with Florida, what that's become, and we talked about LSU, Alabama. I know when I was a little boy, LSU, Ole Miss. And when you look at Arkansas being a part of, I'm old enough to remember Southwest Conference. I mean, even Richard Nixon going to the game. I think they were 1-2, Arkansas and Texas. And then so you look at now, trying to make it a rivalry, playing for the boot, that being Arkansas and LSU. Wouldn't, from a logistics standpoint, wouldn't it be more – I guess, or maybe relationships that Arkansas and Missouri maybe would be more of a rivalry than LSU and Arkansas. It just seems like the boot is more important to Arkansas than LSU.
Well, I think it was initially. I don't think there's any question about that. I think when you look at some of the scores in the games, frankly, I think it's been evident that it's perhaps more important to Arkansas. But I do think this is that, you know, in Arkansas's case, it kind of depends which border you live on. If you live in southern Arkansas, right, LSU's the rival. If you live in eastern Arkansas, it's Ole Miss. If you live in northern Arkansas, it's Missouri. So they are trying to create a rivalry. Missouri's doing with Arkansas kind of like Arkansas did with LSU, creating a trophy, giving the game a name, and here we go. And Arkansas is experiencing that a little bit because, very frankly, the Missouri-Arkansas game right now is more important to Missouri than it is to Arkansas, just like I think for years this game was more important to Arkansas than it is to LSU. It's a rivalry when both teams win. It's not a rivalry
right
when only one team wins.
Chuck Barrett, voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks football team, at Hog Radio Voice on Twitter. Thanks for stopping by. We certainly appreciate it.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for having me.
All right, there you go. There was the voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks, Chuck Barrett. We'll step away and come back here. Your phone call's next on Tiger Tailgating on WWLAMFMN.com. All right, welcome back. Tiger Tailgating. Jump in the conversation at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Are you confident in an LSU rebound win today over Arkansas? Double-digit favorites are the Tigers over the Hogs. To the phones we go. Keith, what's going on, Keith, on a cell phone? You're on WWL.
Yeah, Kristen, I just had some questions. I caught kind of like the tail end that Dez Bryant had been injured. Can you give me some details on that?
Yes, on the practice field yesterday, he ruptured his Achilles tendon, and he has now subsequently been placed on injured reserve.
So is he going to be out for the rest of the season?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. When you tear that ligament, it's a year recovery, if not longer.
That's terrible. Yeah, on LSU tonight, I think, just my personal opinion, they're going to have a struggling game. They may win, but I think they're going to struggle. It's not going to be a big blowout.
You would hope they don't struggle. Arkansas has given up a ton of points all year long. They can score at times, but This team is way better, far better than Arkansas.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's just my opinion that they're going to have a struggling game and it's not going to be a blowout. That's just my opinion on it.
I got you, Keith. Thanks for the phone call. Going to Walter on line two. What's going on, Walter? You're on Tiger Tailgating on WWL.
Hey, good afternoon, y'all. I got a question. My son and I are sitting here having a discussion, and he is in LSU. He goes to LSU. He's home for the weekend right now. But we were talking about standings for the playoffs. I'm going to hang up, but I want him to listen as well. Does LSU have a chance as far as in the playoff standings? And if so, I know they got a lot of teams to beat, but do they at least have a chance? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, do they have a chance? I guess, but they need a lot of things to go their way. I mean, you're talking about Michigan and Notre Dame would have to lose. LSU would have to continue to win out. And also West Virginia, if they continue to win, do they leapfrog LSU? Depends on the scenario. Do they have a chance? Sure they do. It would be the first time, though, in the college football playoff format that a two-loss team made it to the Final Four. So that's it in a nutshell. A lot of things have to happen. John on line three. Go ahead, John. You're on WWL.
Oh, no, my name's Sean, and I was just calling about that LSU game, man. Tigers are looking real good, real, real, real good, better than anybody. That loss to Alabama last week, that was a fluke. I'm telling everybody it was
Sean,
a fluke.
Come on, Sean. You're smarter than that. You can't call that 29-0 domination of LSU a fluke. Come on. They didn't lose Troy, okay? They got beat by the best team in the country.
Well, what had happened was they
anytime hey, hold on, Sean. Anytime you have to preface something or qualify something with what had happened, it usually means it's not a good thing. So go ahead. Did we lose Sean? All right, he's gone. I mean, to say it's a fluke, come on. Alabama doesn't fluke win against anybody. My goodness. A fluke win would be like Troy. You could say Troy beating LSU could be a fluke win. Valdosta State beating Ohio State. That would be a fluke win. Come on. Alabama dominated last week. That's just plain and simple. LSU's not there yet. They're not at that level yet. They should get there, though. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Will LSU win today? Will they rebound against the Arkansas Razorbacks? For me, this is simple. I said it. The only way LSU loses this game is if, you know, they turn the ball over two times, commit double-digit penalties, and make silly mistakes. They're that much better than Arkansas. And I like the chip on their shoulder. I like LSU after a loss. You heard Coach O say it before. Ultimately, they play better when they're mad. He coaches better when they're mad. Jeff Palermo coming up next here on Tiger Tailgating on WWLAMFMN.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.